The Robber Barons, Jay Gould, Part 3, 1875 to 1879. This is about his Missouri Pacific. Now, years of furious activity passed through Gould's hands were molding a thousand affairs at once. Gould devoted himself to the upbuilding, the great American West, of course, in his usual manner. His manipulation of the chains of railroads broken up, resold, or joined to his principal systems, which were the Wabash and the Missouri Pacific. This, of course, kept the western states in continual turmoil. There were destructive rate wars, which brought low tariffs to the people, but then were succeeded immediately by the pools, and the prices went up. Over the divisions of business between Nebraska and Denver, Colorado, Gould's Wabash Railroad engaged in a cutthroat rate war with the rich Chicago, Burlington, and Quincy Railroad, which is a long-established middle territory. It's interesting, here in Liberty, where I live, if you go down to Independence, they have 1890s Quincy Railroad station that's been fully restored, which is, it's really nice to see the pictures of the train, so it's pretty interesting. The Burlington fought back aggressively. This led to an extension of the parallel lines by each company, which was just wasteful duplication of rail service. Finally, there would be a compromise, or perhaps a combination, against a common enemy. Those who traveled or shipped goods over the railroads were the ones who were being taken to the cleaners. At one moment, the people of Denver, hearing Gould was approaching them with one of his railroads, were thrown into panic and set about building a branch line of their own to connect it with another trunk line. To the north, Gould had met with determined opposition and found the field well occupied, especially by the Burlington Railroad. So Gould had to shift his plans. He dismembered most of the Wabash Railroad and sold parts of it to his rivals. He moved his energy and attention now to try and exploit the unexploited Southwest Territory. Now here, Gould met with success in building up the Missouri Pacific and the allied Texas Pacific into a condition of a monopoly over Kansas and Texas, creating a vast empire from the Mississippi River to the Sierra Nevada Mountains. The Missouri Pacific Railroad, upon which the state of Missouri lavished $25 million in subsidies, had fallen into Gould's hands for a paltry $3.8 million. This railroad kept that Gould would keep for himself, by diverting traffic to it, adding connecting roads, building extensions, and, quote, growing up with the country, end of quote. Gould soon had a system with 5,000 plus miles of track from St. Louis west to Omaha and from St. Louis southwest to El Paso. Gould ever afterward was proud of his construction labor, particularly in the Missouri Pacific Territory. The railroad receipts grew 20 times during his management. He would boast that we made the country rich, we developed the country. Other railroad barons that followed believed that they had made the Great West. Gould clung to the Missouri Pacific Railroad as to no other property that he had owned, and he had a certain sentiment in it. It was to remain as a family heirloom down for many, many, many years. But just because he loved it did not mean he did not loot it periodically. Under favorable reports made by extraordinary accounting devices, which no one else controlled, Gould would raise the stock value, sell it, let it depreciate, and then buy it back. So the Wabash, which had little traffic, or for that matter, reason to exist, and which was mismanaged with, as they would say, quote, trained incompetence, would have its treasury emptied its stock manipulated by secret loans at a high price, and the poor Wabash ultimately crashed in a sensational debacle in which appeared that Gould was in no way involved. He simply was not there when it happened. He had already gotten rid of his shares of it. The Missouri Pacific, too, paid dividends by curtailing necessary repairs and replacements, its stock price remaining high in the face of mounting deficits. Whenever a Gould moved or struck on the map of the country, the effects of his management never wore off entirely. Quote, there was never any effort to build up a strong, soundly managed group of railroads. The dominant note was speculation. The railroads Gould touched never quite recovered from his lack of knowledge and interest in sound red railroading. End of quote. And that is from Rigel's History of the Western Railroads. So we have our friend, Mr. Gould. He tried to go north. I find that very interesting. He tried to go into the northern section. And, of course, the Burlington Northern was too much for him. And there really wasn't that much there. The great tycoon had set up the great Northwestern, and ultimately the Burlington followed along. And then he found, of course, the Southwest, which had been given all these grants, but nobody had done anything, which made it perfect for him. So he heads off in that direction. And it's interesting to note that if you take a passenger train today on Amtrak, you will basically follow these same routes. You know, you will go to Omaha, and then from Omaha down to Salt Lake City, or you go from Chicago, and that goes all the way. That's the Empire Builder going all the way across to the Pacific Ocean, and then you eventually, and we haven't run into it yet, the Santa Fe, which of course will go down to El Paso and ultimately to Los Angeles, and we haven't quite gotten to the point where Gould is going to have to deal with Huntington and company to get his railroads in the California and to the Pacific coast. So there will be some interesting stuff to come because Huntington is ruthless too. They refer to him as the Caesar Borgia of California. But that's probably a month or a month and a half away. Now the sources for this, the same ones I've been using, The Robber Barons by Josephson, America in the Gilded Age by Cashman, The Age of Moguls, The Story of Robber Barons and Tycoons by Holbrook, and Rigel's History of Western Railroads. I do have a variety of Western Railroad or railroad history, since my family was associated with the Baltimore and Ohio. I probably have told you this before, but my grandfather worked for them for 50 years and had the coveted Golden Pass. And my dad worked for them for 35 years. He actually grew up with the president of the railroad's son at one time, and they were very good friends. Unfortunately, my dad never took his stock tips. Otherwise, he would have been worth a lot more than he was. At any rate, I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com. Ask a question, leave a comment, check out the CDs, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. There's a lot of ways of doing that. Thank you very much.